We have seen the house gradually spew out its people, its pictures, its furniture. Judenhäuser in Dresden between 1939 and 1945.
Altenzellerstrasse 32, Altenzellerstrasse 41, Bautznerstrasse 20, Canaletto-Strasse 5, Caspar David Friedrich Strasse 15b, Chemnitzer Strasse 27, Kronach Strasse 6, Fiedler Strasse 3, Franz Liszt Strasse 6, Fürsten Strasse 2, Gunst Strasse 24, Heine Strasse 1, Hensel Strasse 15, Kaiser Strasse 1, Kurfürsten Strasse 11, Kiffhäuser Strasse 15, Lindengasse 9, Lothringer Weg 2, Max Strasse 1, Pirnasche Strasse 23, Rohrhofsgasse 16, Schulgutstrasse 15, Schweizer Strasse 2, Semperstrasse 4, Sporergasse 2, Steinstrasse 2, Strehlener Strasse 52, Wasserstrasse 7, Wiener Strasse 85, Zeughausstrasse 1, Zeughausstrasse 3, Ziegelstrasse 41.
December 9th, 1939, Saturday. On Monday, I was in a Jewish community house, 3 Zeughausstrasse, beside the burned-down and leveled synagogue, to pay my tax and winter aid. Then the party official present wanted to talk to me. We would, in any case, have informed you in the next few days. You must leave your house by April 1st. You can sell it, rent it out, leave it empty. That's your business. Only you have to be out. You are entitled to a room. Since your wife is Erin, you will be allocated 2 rooms, if possible. April 29th, 1940. Awfulness of the housing business. On Saturday, a Streicher, so far quite courteous, showed us 2 rooms in a villa on Caspar David Friedrich Straße. Very nice, but also with great drawbacks. I was supposed to meet a co-tenant, a Frau Voss, in his office on Monday, and then discuss the matter further. I looked at the rooms with Eva. It was self-evident that a number of questions still had to be settled with Frau Voss, etc. on Monday. Also, we had not yet seen anything but these 2 rooms. At my first question, a Streicher became extremely presumptuous. I was ungrateful. I should be throwing my arms around him. I had to decide immediately, etc., etc. He began to shout and threatened that in his omnipotence he would allocate me an impossible single room. I was enraged. I jumped up, struck the desk with my fist, and bellowed at him to behave like a gentleman. It was a frightful scene. I paid for it with real heart trouble, and am still shattered today. After we had both raved at each other for a long time, I took the rooms. Frau Voss will come at 12, so that we can discuss things further together. Victor Klemperer, Diaries 1933 till 1945.
Announcement in the periodical Grund und Hauseigentum Sachsen, Größte Hausbesitzerzeitung Deutschlands. Real Estate in Saxony, Germany's biggest paper for house owners. 1940, number 2. Clean-cut separation between Jews and Aryans in Dresden to be carried out by April 1st, 1940. At the latest. It contradicts National Socialist endeavors to create and support true housing communities of residents if there are not just fellow Germans, but also Jews living in the same house. It is impossible for a housing community to exist between them. It is therefore essential to pave the way for the continued removal of Jews from German living places, as far as this doesn't take place voluntarily. At the same time, this offers genuine prospects of finding a new apartment for those fellow Germans who are currently forced to live in Jewish houses.
We had to leave our apartment soon afterwards. We were sent to the so-called Judenhaus at Wiener Straße 85, Mrs. Herschel's house, where we were allocated the cellar. The restrictions increased. We had to be in the house by 8 o'clock in summer, and in winter by 7. In the winter, I would walk to the nearby Strehlen station, where it was still dark, and take the train to the Sächsische Schweiz. I would return when it was dark, run home, and already be lying in bed by 7 o'clock if the police checked. Later, we had to move from Wiener Straße to Zeughausstraße 1. Ever more frequently, the houses were checked by the Gestapo. Usually this meant all the Jewish occupants of the house had to line up in the corridor, where they would be sworn at, beaten, kicked, robbed. I myself once had a pot of boiling spinach turned over my head. Ilse Frischmann. Some of the Nazis were well known in the city. Beser was known as the Spitter and Clemens as the Thug. The Jewish population continued to shrink. The few full Jews who still lived in Dresden were gathered and forced into Judenhäuser. An aunt of mine lived in one too. Dreadful scenes were always taking place there. The SS man would come by on Sunday mornings when the people who had been working hard the whole week wanted to be left in peace. They rang the doorbell continuously, barged into the apartment, and then behaved like vandals. The spitter would spit into the pot in which the scant food was being cooked. The others would rip up the feather beds, cram the Jews full with bread, which they made them gobble down, force the Jewish men to recite prayers and dance for their amusement. They always took Jews with them when they left, who were then never seen again. I had to look on as an elegant elderly lady with white hair was forced to stand on the stairs and an inkpot was poured over her white hair. Things like that happened each Sunday in the Judenhäuser. Henny Brenner.
To avoid disturbances of public safety and order, the statute requires that all Jews must vacate the apartments still in their possession by March 31, 1940, and be assigned accommodation by the Housing Department of the Jewish Community in one of the 32 Judenhäuser in Dresden, as listed here below.
8th of February, 1942, Sunday. Especially depressed since yesterday. Eva exhausted by morning errand through frost, snow and ice, so I was at the Neumanns alone. The whole time they talked of nothing but the unspeakable house sewage they, and others likewise, had suffered. 8-man squad. Vilest abuse, pushing, blows, Frau Neumann boxed on the ears 5 times. They rummaged to everything, stole indiscriminately, candles, soap, an electric fire, a suitcase, books, 1/2 pound of margarine, legitimately bought with ration coupons, writing paper, all kinds of tobacco, umbrella, his military decorations. You won't be needing them anymore. Where do you have your laundry done? It's done at home. Watch, you don't have the cheek to have your laundry done outside. Why do you all get so old? Go on and string yourselves up, turn on the gas. Unfortunately, also letters, addresses, written matter in general taken away. Finally, one signs a statement that one has voluntarily put everything at the disposal of the German Red Cross. 28th of April, 1942, Tuesday. It has by now become a firm rule. On the day after a house search, there are suicides. We heard of the new case at the same time as the Hitler speech. A couple called Feuerstein, living in Altenzeller Straße, has been pillaged, then summoned to the Gestapo, and beaten and kicked there. During the night, the people were found dead in their gas-filled kitchen. From day to day, I wait for the house search to take place here. The apprehension is always worst in the evening between 7 and 9. No doubt wrongly, for the squads are said to appear at any time of the day. They are said to steal everything, even food which has been bought on coupons, writing paper, postage stamps, leather briefcases. They are said to drink up skimmed milk, etc.
The establishment of Judenhäuser was in accordance with the law. The creation of ghettos was avoided. The resettlement of the Jews was carried out by the Housing Department of the Jewish Community, Zeughausstrasse 3, acting upon instructions. In order to allow fellow German comrades living in the Judenhäuser the opportunity to find suitably worthy alternative accommodation, the Housing Department of the Municipal Welfare Office is cooperating closely with the Office of the Kreisleiter in order to help such comrades. The majority of the apartments which are available to them are those which have been vacated by Jews in order to move to a Judenhaus.
23rd of May, 1942, Saturday afternoon. In the afternoon, a long-expected house search. I came back at 7:30. The raiding squad had appeared here at 5 and departed shortly before my return. First of all, I saw the chaos on the ground floor through the open front door. Friedheim showed me the side of his neck and chin, black and blue from blows. He complained of a kick to his body, which struck a hernia scar. Frau Kreidel and Frau Pick had also been beaten. In our rooms, I found Eva, who was completely calm. Everything had gone according to the familiar pattern. "You're Aryan? You Jews whore, why did you marry the Jew?" In the Talmud it says, "To us every non-Jewish woman is a whore." She was sent downstairs, where she got a couple of slaps. Stage slaps, rather than anything serious, she said, whereas Ida Kreidel, for her part, complained of ringing in her ears. But they repeatedly spat in Eva's face and on her head. In our apartment I found exactly the same chaos, the bestial devastation by cruel, drunken apes, which I often heard described, but the reality of which nevertheless appeared monstrous. Even now, we are still sitting in the chaos, which has hardly been cleared at all. Contents of cupboards, drawers, shelves, of the desk, all over the floor. Torn playing cards, powder, pieces of sugar, individual pills, contents of a sewing book strewn among them and stamped on, needles, buttons, shards of smashed Christmas decorations, pastilles, tablets, cigarette papers, Eva's clothes, clean linen, hats, shreds of paper, all mixed up. In the bedroom, the space between beds and wardrobes, the beds themselves were strewn with things. It is impossible to ascertain what has been stolen, what destroyed, what arbitrarily hidden, what overlooked. Downstairs yesterday these people found, among other things, a bowl of spinach. The contents were thrown in the ladies' faces and smeared over their dresses. They also painted it on the bathroom door. Up here everything stank of garlic. A couple of bulbs, which had been lying on the balcony, had been cut into small pieces and distributed in the various rooms and could not be discovered at once. Apart from all foodstuffs and a pair of boots, Frau Voss is missing two rolls of toilet paper and an electric cushion. Less appears to have been stolen from us than from others.
Almost all the apartments which are occupied or have been vacated by Jews are available. If the apartments formerly occupied by Jews have become shabby, the landlord is expected to undertake their renovation. Similarly, it is expected that all Jewish apartments becoming available will be notified to the Housing Department of the Municipal Welfare Office using the forms scheduled for the purpose. It is, of course, understood that landlords shall not hamper the resettlement by renting out vacated Jewish apartments on their own initiative. Large parts of Dresden have already been freed of Jews, prominent amongst them the Weißerhirsch area.
20th of August, 1942, Thursday, midday. Frau Pick attempted suicide a second time, and this time successfully. Veronal. Fear of ill treatment by the Gestapo during the transport, perhaps also fear of unknown Theresienstadt. Once again Ida Kreidel came up in the morning. Eva was first to go downstairs at 7 o'clock and then told me this time it was more serious. She was groaning loudly. I was downstairs a quarter of an hour later, by which time there was no sound anymore, mouth open, one eye open, obviously dead. Again, I went to Mickley's nursery garden to telephone. I told him the whole miserable story. I told Katz Frau Pick was clearly dead. When he did come, rigor mortis had already set in. Again, I registered my own complete coldness of heart and apathy. My first thought, we shall inherit potatoes. Substitutes are listed in advance for every transport. The Gestapo takes it as certain that a number of suicides will occur. German organization. Frau Pick must have been completely calm when she committed suicide. A farewell note on her table is written in a very deliberate hand, quite different from my own shaky one, and carefully composed. I thank all, who by their heartfelt curtsy have made my 2.5 years in Strehlen, she means the Herschels, us here, and the Markwalds, so pleasant.
The concentration of the Jews in a few houses simplified not only the process of gaining access to people for the purpose of surveillance and humiliation, but also allowed them to be seized more easily for deportation later on. Following the beginning of the deportations in January 1942, most of the so-called Judenhäuser were emptied and the then vacant apartments made available to the non-Jewish population. By the year 1945, almost all Jews had been deported from Dresden to the extermination camps and ghettos in Eastern Europe. 8 of the former 32 houses remained to accommodate Dresden's last Jewish inhabitants, those living in so-called mixed marriages. Schulgutstrasse 15, Sporergasse 2, Strehlener Strasse 52, Zeughausstrasse 1 and 3, Fiedlerstrasse 3, Bautzner Strasse 20, and Kyffhäuser Strasse 15.
9th of July, 1944, Sunday forenoon. How many circulars, prohibitions and commandments there used to be. Only very rarely now. Everything has already been prohibited, and there are hardly any Jews left here.